we'll come in reading this evening is Psalm 115. Psalm 115, we'll be reading the entire psalm together. This is the word of the Lord. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Keep your finger with me in Psalm 115, as that will be the primary portion of God's word for this evening's sermon. Turn with me over to our New Covenant reading. Revelation 5, we'll be reading verses 6 through 14. This is the word of the Lord. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Turn with me back to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. I want you to imagine for a moment that, you know, you're driving on a highway and you break down. Okay, breaking down is never a good thing, even at the best of times, right? It's not fun. Nobody likes it to happen. Then you remember that you forgot to renew your AAA membership. You're like, "Man, I knew I was supposed to do something. Now I don't have it." But then the good news is you have a couple of friends who you're pretty sure will be willing to help you out. You know, there's Joe. He lives right in town. He's probably only a few minutes away. Problem is, he doesn't own a car. I'm like, okay, well, Joe's not really going to be able to help me. He's only got a bicycle that he takes to work every morning. So maybe that's not out of the picture. Then you think of your other friend, Bob. And Bob, he lives an hour away, but he owns a towing company. And you're like, "I know Bob. Bob would drive an hour to help me." So of course, what do? You call Bob, right? Joe's not going to be able to help you. It wouldn't make any sense to call him to begin with. But Bob is willing. He's also able to give you a hand. You might have to wait an hour, but you know he's willing. In this psalm, the people of God are asking for God's help. They are also declaring the folly of worshiping idols. And also, this psalm calls God's people to remain loyal to Him, and it ends with God's blessing and our response. Because the Lord is the only God, He alone is worthy to be glorified, to be trusted, and to be blessed. Now, even though we know that idols are powerless to help us, our sinful hearts are often quick to stray after them. And these idols can be subtle. They can creep in. They can draw our attention away from God, even when we're sort of not paying attention to the fact that that's happening. I like the way that John Calvin put it. He said, "Man's nature, so to speak, is a perpetual factory of idols." You can relate to that. You're always finding some new idol to come up with and to trust in. And even as believers, we're prone to this, aren't we? We face times of trouble, and instead of calling on God, who is able to help us, we foolishly look for help to what is useless and powerless. Now, this psalm is specifically about the way that the people of God are to call to Him in times of trouble, but I think it applies to other areas of our lives as well, right? See, sometimes when we fall into trouble, we think, oh yeah, I should trust God then. But when things start going well, that's when we slip into idolatry. We think, oh, everything's going great. I'm doing such a great job. And so there are many ways that we can slip into idolatry without realizing it, to putting our trust in what is vain. What is the solution to our idolatrous hearts? I think Psalm 115 is actually helpful for us here. Because the Lord is the only God, we are called to glorify Him, to trust in Him, and to bless Him. I think that's actually the antidote to idolatry. Glorify Him, trust in Him, and bless Him. Let's look at these 3 points this evening. First, glorify the God of heaven. Because the Lord is the only God, glorify Him. Look with me here at verses 1 and 3 of what the psalmist says. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases." This prayer begins with God's people declaring that they are not glorifying themselves. They are giving glory to the Lord. Because He is a God of steadfast love, a God of faithfulness, He will hear and answer His people because of His Because of His nature, because this is who our God is. And so it is with this confidence that they cry out to Him in their need. But there's also a sense in this psalm that Israel is asking God to vindicate His own glory. They're not asking God to help them because of their merit, right? They don't come to Him and say, "You know, God, we've been offering an awful lot of sacrifices to You. Like, haven't You noticed? We did really good, God." They're not saying that, right? They're asking Him to help them for the sake of His own glory. They're saying, "God, we are in trouble. Hear us and answer us. Glorify Your own name by helping us because of Your steadfast love and faithfulness. That's who You said You were, and now we're asking You to do what You have claimed that You will do because of who You are. God, don't let Your glory be dragged in the mud. We aren't worthy of God's deliverance. There's never a point where we can come to God and say, "You know, God, I got into a little trouble over here, but haven't You noticed how good I've been doing lately? Haven't You noticed all the things that I've done for You?" There isn't a time when we can do that. We don't earn God's favor and God's help by our merit. We place our hope in the fact that He has respect for His own glory. Isaiah 48:11, the Lord Himself says it this way: for my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Now, we don't exactly know what trouble the people of God are facing here. It doesn't really say. It's just they're crying out to God. It's a time of trouble. But we do know that whatever's happened to them, the nations are pointing at them and taunting them and saying, "Your God can't help you. Look at the mess you're in. Your God, He's not going to do anything for you." remember that happens, right, to Hezekiah when Sennacherib comes. And Sennacherib comes and says, you think God is going to help you, but it's not going to happen. I've conquered all the other gods, and I'm going to do the same to your God. Right? So that's exactly what's going on here. The nations are saying, you're done, people. Your God is not going to help you. In mocking Israel, the nations are mocking the living God. God has bound himself to his people. He has adopted them by his covenant. He has tied up his glory with the welfare of his people. Think about how crazy that sounds. He will not let anyone take glory away from himself. If he does not come to help his people, the nations will say, your God is just a fake. He couldn't come to help. So Israel responds to the mockings and the tauntings of the nations by saying, you don't understand, our God is in the heavens. He's not there. He's the only true and living God. He alone has all power and authority. It is the gods of the nations that are powerless to help their worshippers. Look here at verses 4 through 8. The psalmist writes, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Now, these verses here are in direct contrast with verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. The false idols are on earth. Our God is the one who acts, who does what he pleases, and the false gods do nothing. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do, and these false gods can't even do basic things, like speak and walk and see and talk. They can't even do that. Right? Like, a 2-year-old can do that, but these false gods can't. Our God is the only true and living God, and our God has bound himself to us by graciously condescending to enter into covenant with us in Jesus Christ. When we cry out to him in times of trouble, he will answer and help because he is concerned with preserving his own glory. God is glorified in you. You are his purchased possession. He sent his Son to die for you. Do you think that he's going to let his name and his glory that he won for himself in Jesus Christ, do you think he's going to let that glory be dragged to the mire? So we need to ask ourselves, whose glory are we seeking? When we face times of trouble, the thing we look to for help is the thing that we are glorifying. If we rely on our own wisdom, on our own strength, on our own resources, and never look to God, we are seeking to glorify ourselves. We all fall into this at times, right? We want to be able to say, I did it. I got myself out of the jam. I figured it out. Yay me. If we look to other people, we are giving glory to man. If we look to money or prestige, we're giving glory to the things of this earth that are passing away. God is concerned with his own glory. And he has made us his people in order that we might glorify him. And so when we cast ourselves on him for help, he is glorified in us. Think about it this way. If you, let's say you went to your manager or your supervisor for every little thing that went wrong. What would they do? They'd be totally annoyed. They'd be like, figure it out, people. Like, you can't come to me every time something goes wrong, you know? If your keyboard breaks, go tell me. Figure out a way to get a new keyboard. Sometimes we think God is like that manager, that supervisor. We think that, like, if we come to God with every little problem, he's going to get annoyed. And he's going to Israel says, Lord, help us for the sake of your own glory. It's you that we want to be glorified. They are concerned that God receives the glory through their trouble. And that should be our focus. The next time you face trouble or difficulty, how will you avoid looking to idols for help? Well, pray this. Lord, I want you to be glorified in my situation. Deliver me from trouble, but above all, glorify yourself in me. And by all means, use the wisdom and the resources that God has given you, but leave the results to Him. God will answer that prayer. Now, we might not get the answer we want, but we will get the answer that gives God glory. Remember that Paul prayed 3 times to be delivered from the thorn in his side, whatever that was. But he prayed 3 times for it to be delivered. And yet, in that prayer for deliverance, he was ready to accept whatever God's glory required. See, God may be glorified by using you as a witness for his name, whatever trouble you find yourself in. Kind of like we talked about this morning, right? God makes his word to go forth through means that we don't always expect. He might be glorified through your continuing sanctification as he disciplines you in a fatherly and gentle way. He may be glorified as the things of earth grow dim to you and the glory of heaven becomes more and more of a present reality. Our God is the only true and living God, and so cast yourself upon him and glorify him. And the opposite of trouble is true with this as well, isn't it? Right? You find yourself not in a time of trouble, but things are going relatively well. Give praise to God. Glorify Him. Say, God, I want you to be glorified in what I am going through today, even though the times are good. And things are just kind of clicking and moving along well. I want you to be glorified in this. Glorify the God of heaven. Second, trust in the God who blesses. Because the Lord is the only God, trust in Him. Look at what it says here in verses 9 through 11. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. This is a very clear call for all believers to trust in the Lord. And I think the repetition of the 3 verses, right, which is over and over again, creates an emphasis. All you people of God, trust in the Lord, whoever you might be. Because the Lord answers and helps all who trust in Him. All trust in vain idols will be disappointed because they're powerless to do anything. They're not real gods, and so if you trust in them, you will be disappointed. But our trust in the Lord will never be disappointed because He is the true living God. He is the God who has covenanted to be with his people. God as a help and a shield would have been very relevant to the people of God here. It would have been very comforting. Remember, they're in trouble. Something bad is happening. They need help. They need protection. God is the divine warrior, as it were, who stands between his people and their enemies to defend and protect. You know, remember when Elijah was up on was in the city, and I guess the Syrians come to get him. And his servant's kind of freaking out, you know. And he says, Lord, open his eyes, and what's all around them? They're surrounded by the angels of the Lord. Between them and the armies, God had come to defend his people and his servant. And the psalmist here, by the Holy Spirit, is telling God's people, if you trust in God for the help that you so desperately need, your trust will not be disappointed. Trust is believing that God is sovereign. He is in heaven and he does what he pleases. We are on earth and we are very limited in what we can do, even with our modern technology, modern science, modern medicine. And we've accomplished great things, right? We put rockets into space. We do a lot. We think, oh, look what man has done. But even in that, we are limited. Trust is believing that the idols are powerless in comparison to God. When we trust in other things, we are limited to what those things can offer. Right, that's what it says about the idols. Those who trust in them become like them. What is that? Well, the idols are powerless. If you trust in them, you're powerless too. Think about this. If you put your trust in money, just an example, it's going to apply to a lot of things. But let's say you put your trust in money. Well, you're limited to what money can buy. You're also limited by what happens to your money. You know, like you put your money in the stock market and you think, all right, that's going to get me through retirement. You're limited by the fact that the market controls your money. And if the market completely bottoms out and everything is gone, you don't have a retirement, right? You're limited to what that can actually buy. Money can't buy things like happiness. It can't buy health. It can't buy restored relationships. So if you trust in that, like, limited. But when we trust in God, there is no limit to what He can do, and He will surely bless us. Look here at verses 12 to 15. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made you. Probably noticed here that verses 12 and 13 correspond directly with verses 9 through 11, right? It's the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, and those who fear the Lord, who are called to trust in the Lord, and it's precisely those three groups that God will bless. So what the psalmist is saying is actually quite obvious. All who trust in the Lord are blessed by the Lord. All who trust in their idols become like them, that is, they're not blessed. Now it talks here about the Lord remembering us. The Lord has remembered us, it says. When God remembers His people, it always refers to God acting on behalf of His people. Right? He doesn't just look at us and say, oh, I see you there. No, He sees and He acts. Our God is a God who acts for us, a God who blesses those who trust in Him, and this blessing extends even to our children. That's how God's covenant blessing works. God is the creator of all things, and He is abundantly able to bless. If He can create the world, surely He is capable of blessing what He has created. The Lord didn't create all things and then walk away and leave us to ourselves. He entered into covenant to bless all who cast themselves upon Him. Think about how that is. Right? We were actually talking about that this morning when we came to the Lord's table. That at the Lord's table, we see the promise and the seal of God's covenant blessing of all who trust in Him by faith. Christ Himself comes to us. The one who lived and died and rose again, who gave Himself for us. He comes to bless us. The promise of blessing that is pictured to us here in Psalm 115 is brought to fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and it will reach its final fulfillment when Christ returns and brings us to glory. God has tied up all His promises to His people in Jesus Christ. Because He can never turn away from His Son, because He always answers the prayers of His Son, that Christ prays for us before the throne of God, we will be blessed. Sometimes when going gets tough, you know, it's easy to slip into placing our trust in other things. Here in the United States, I don't know if you've noticed, the cost of living is skyrocketing. It's getting hard to afford basic things. Like, I don't know about you, I'm just like afraid to go to the gas station. Like, I don't know about the gas station. Right? Is that a common thing, you know? Gas has gone up, food has gone up. You think about buying oil to heat your house or whatever. It doesn't matter what you have to buy to heat your house. The cost is going up, right? If the previous president was still in office, this wouldn't have happened. We kind of slip into that, don't we? Or, you know, we think we need conservative judges on the Supreme Court. I'm not saying we don't, we do. But sometimes we put our trust in that, right? They're the ones that are going to help us overturn Roe versus Wade. They can help our country get back to being a nation under God. But the thing we want to remind ourselves of is this: God is the one who provides our daily needs, not the fiscal conservatives in office. God is the one who transforms hearts and minds to bow to his word in ways, not the justices on the Supreme Court. Yes, God works through means, and we pray that God would use the means to provide for us and to lead our nation back to him. We pray for those means. But we put our trust in God, not in the means, not in men, but in God. Trusting in God means relying on him in the place of prayer. Saying each day, God, give us today our daily bread. Saying, God, we know that you alone can change the hearts of our country's leaders. God, we will praise you regardless of our circumstances. Trust is a frame of mind, right? And it's a frame of mind that is cultivated by prayer. But trust is also a way of living. It takes trust, doesn't it, to keep selflessly loving your family members who are not walking with God. You know, after all that you said, everything that there is to say, they know what you think, they know the truth, they even know the gospel. You have to leave it in God's hands. Keep loving them. When you're swamped with your work or your studies or whatever it is, it takes trust to say, you know what? I've been working nonstop for 12 hours straight. I'm going to shut my computer off. I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray and believe God's word with them. I'm going to go for a walk, take care of my body. I'm going to go to sleep because God gives his beloved sleep. I'm going to work hard, sure, but I'm not going to let my work consume me and control my life. I'm not going to put my trust in my abilities and my own wisdom. Trust in God in your life and rely on him to bless you. Glorify the God of heaven, trust in the God who blesses, and finally, bless the God who blesses. Because the Lord is the only God, bless him. Look with me here at verses 16. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. This is the third time in this psalm that God is said to be the God of heavens. He created the heavens. He dwells in the heavens. He is the sovereign creator and ruler of all things and all people, and he has graciously given the earth to man as his dwelling place. Right? This shows God's fatherly care for his creatures. He created all things, he created us, and he provides for us. And the implications of this are that we are bound to praise him and worship. It is God who pours out love and faithfulness, and so he is the one who is worthy to receive all worship and praise for all eternity. We trust in God, and he gets all the glory. See, blessing God is the antidote for idolatry. The one we trust is the one that we will worship and praise. And the flip side of that is true. The one that we worship and praise is the one that we will trust. God does not deliver his people. They will surely perish. And if they perish, who will be left to praise him on earth and bear witness to his salvation in Christ? Think about that. That's what the psalmist is talking about. The dead don't praise the Lord. Lord, if we are destroyed, there won't be anyone to praise you on earth. Your witness on earth will be snuffed out. But God has not left us to be destroyed. And so while we have breath, we are called to respond to God's grace and provision by praising Him with our lips and with our lives. We bless God because He blesses us. And we will bless God for all eternity. The worshipers of idols will perish, but because of Christ, we will spend eternity blessing God. How will we face life's troubles without falling into idolatry? How will we face the good times in life without falling into idolatry? Glorify God as the only true God. Ask Him to glorify His own name in you. Trust in Him who is our helper and our defender, and bless Him.